Morning, everyone. Heavenly Father, may these words I speak be faithful to your written word, and by your grace lead us to hear your true and living word. Amen. Today's reading continues to help us to understand a little more of the kingdom of God. But just prior to today's reading, Jesus tells us how to show people their sin, and he explains the lengths we are to go to in which to show or explain the sin to our brothers and sisters so that they can understand how they may have sinned. It also tells us what should be done when the sinner doesn't see the sin. We are to treat them like pagans or tax collectors. Here we understand again just how disliked tax collectors were. I guess we hear a little bit more about that when it comes to Matthew, because he used to be a tax collector and he's more sensitive to how he used to be treated. Bringing this forward to today, with the non-stop progression and development of the world, has been a steady and continual separation from God. With this, we see a lack of understanding of God's ways, God's love, and of course, sin. Perhaps now more than ever, we are the ones in need of sharing with people when they have sinned. Additional challenges of technology are placed in the way as a distraction. People think they know everything. Sometimes their moral compass is not the same as ours. So how do we deal with this? What do we do? When we think of how we could tackle this, we can get tangled up in many things. But before we tackle anything we believe is what God wants us to do, the first and vital step is to pray. After prayer, we wait for guidance, while continuing to pray for what it is that God wants us to do. But generally, sharing the gospel is key. Those who do not understand anything about sin first need to learn the gospel. Then, in learning more of the gospel, our sins are revealed to us, where we can then repent and seek forgiveness. I'm not saying this is easy, because it's not. But when God is with us and we trust in him, we are truly able to achieve anything. I'll talk more about sin a little bit later. But at the start of today's reading, Peter asked a practical question. How many times shall I forgive? Jesus' response is to first give an indication of numbers too many to keep track of. But nowadays, I can imagine some tech-savvy individual making an app to track forgiven sins so that you know when the number has been reached. Can't have any more, you're done. This is not a kingdom of God behaviour. We should not be tracking the number of sins we forgive. Would we want the number of our sins tracked? I know I wouldn't want my sins tracked, definitely. Jesus goes on to tell us a parable of the king and his servants. Here we see the servant who owed the king 10,000 talents. Now, 10,000 talents is a lot of money. A footnote in my study Bible says it's millions of pounds. Nowadays, people would be asking questions as to why this person was loaned so much. How did they manage it? What collateral did they have? If we sit and think about it, we cannot imagine how we could earn millions of pounds, let alone pay it back. The servant could not repay the money. He would be sold along with his entire family and all his possessions. Selling all this would still not repay the debt, but the king would accept it. Therefore, the servant would be repaying part of this debt by his very being. As a servant, he was a relatively free man, but becoming someone who was sold is to become a slave. This man, his family, and everything he had was not enough to repay the debt he owed. He was destined to become a slave. The servant begged the king for longer to repay his debt. The king, his servant's master, was gracious. He cancelled the debt and set the servant free from the burden of his debts. We can imagine the servant leaving the king's presence, feeling lighter, full of joy, ecstatic, and elated that he no longer owes this debt to the king. The massive burden of his debt that both he and his descendants would have been paying back has been lifted from him. Being filled with this feeling of ecstasy and joy, he went out and found one of his fellow servants. I want to draw on those words again in verse 28. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. In order to find someone, you have to first be looking for them. Here we have a servant freed from his burden of debt, who then goes out to find a fellow servant who owed him 100 denarii. I can't get owed out, can I? Hold is hold, not owed, but there we go. A denarii was about a day's pay. So the fellow servant owed him about 100 days' worth of pay. Quite a difference to the debt he had been freed from. The comparison is between a debt he could never repay compared to a debt that the other servant had a good chance of repaying. The difference between the debt is vast. What does the servant who is freshly freed from the burden of his millions of pounds of debt do? He throttles or chokes his fellow servant. Now, I don't know about his day, but I know I can't go around choking my colleagues, no matter how frustrated I get with them. I wouldn't have a job, let alone my freedom. The servant being choked begs him to be patient. Patience is denied. He's thrown in prison until the money is repaid. Now, we can get tangled up in trying to figure out how on earth this money would be repaid when he's in prison, but that's not the point of today's reading. The servant freed from his debt has gone out and gone after someone who owes him some money. He's forgotten about the gift that he has been given. What he's been given on the one hand has not been seen by the repayment being chased and sought on the other. The gracious king hears about what the servant who was freed from his burden has done. The servant who was freed from his burden and then was unforgiven to his colleague is called to the king. Due to the servant's lack of mercy, in verse 34 we read, "In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all that he owed." I've already said that paying back what this servant owed is not something which is easy. He just can't do it. Today's reading acts as a warning. It is confirmed by Jesus in the final verse of today's reading. In verse 35, it tells us, "This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart." Now, I believe we are fickle. I know that's a bold statement, and there might be some who instantly say, "No, I'm not fickle, that's not me." But I believe we can be. How many of us come to church on a Sunday and put a face on? We may well have just had an argument with our other half or thought something not very nice about a driver we've come across on our way to church. But as soon as we enter church, it's kind of like putting on your Sunday best. The church face comes on. It's all good. And we're all fine. We're all happy. Everything is okay. When we have just finished arguing with someone, or maybe told kids off, or something similar, we can't show that in church. Just like we should take our whole selves everywhere we go, we should also bring our whole selves to church. Now, I'm not saying that everyone wants to hear our arguments and so on, but more that we should take our church selves everywhere we go. Are we guilty of compartmentalising God? Or is he woven into the fabric of our lives? Do we come to church, hear the word of God explained to us, worship our Lord, pray, and as soon as we leave, put God back in his compartment? As it says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 8, "If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." By compartmentalizing God, are we guilty of the same sin as the unforgiven servant? Do we receive forgiveness of our sins on a Sunday, leave church feeling righteous as though nothing we have done has ever caused offence? We've never upset anyone. We've never sinned. Are we just the same as the servant we heard about today? Jesus doesn't tell us that forgiveness is easy, but he tells us that we should forgive and forgive and forgive. We should forgive endlessly, no matter what sin has been done to us. There will be those times when we find it impossible to forgive, But as I mentioned earlier, the first thing we do is pray. We listen, we pray, and the cycle continues. There are times when forgiveness is nigh on impossible. The act of sin done to us is too hard for us to forgive. We have prayed and prayed, but it's still impossible to forgive. When or if this happens, don't give up, but give it to God. He can deal with it. We have received the priceless gift of God's forgiveness. The message I take from the reading today is that we have a choice of what we do with that forgiveness we have received. We can choose to throw it away by not forgiving others, or we can choose to claim it as it is, the priceless gift of God, and share it by forgiving. To think we are not sinners is a mistake. It says in 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 46, there is no one who does not sin. A sin is anything that we do which fails to conform to the moral law of God. Now that thing we do comes from not only actions and words, but thoughts as well. It's anything that we do. We are human beings, and no matter how pious we may be on a Sunday while in church, for the short time that we're in church, there are so many more days we have so much time to behave and react in a manner which is in contradiction to God's moral law. So like the unforgiven servant that we have learned about today, we need to work hard to repent, to prevent repeating his unforgiveness. So how do we do that? First of all, we need to remember, as it says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 8, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Our Creator knows we are sinful beings. He knows we are not able to prevent ourselves from sinning because we are human. He sent us Jesus. It says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, that he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. We have been healed of the sin. And so in being healed of sin, forgiven for our sins, why would we not forgive the sins of those who sin against us? The Lord's Prayer includes, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. For me, it has a direct link to today's verse. We need to practice forgiveness. We need to practice forgiveness. We need to continually forgive. We have been forgiven our sins. I will repeat. Let us not be like the unforgiven servant. He was imprisoned. He was tortured until he could repay his debt. The debt we owe is too great for us to repay. We simply cannot repay it. But we can accept the gift we have been given and do all that we can to share it. Forgiveness is powerful. It's powerful for the person who has been sinned and the person who has committed the sin. The power is held in God. God has given us the gift of forgiveness. He gives us the power to share that gift. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Why would we not want to confess our sins? When we think of confessing our sins, we may think of confessing these to a priest, but in this verse, we need only confess our sins. So confess them to God. When we think of confessing our sins, we may think of confessing these to a priest, but in this verse, I'm repeating myself. I'm not saying we can't or shouldn't confess our sins to a priest, if that would help us. But the important thing is that we confess them. By confessing them, we own up to them. We own up to our sins. We deal with how sinful we are, and we seek to be purified from our sins. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. We have been forgiven our sins by the sacrifice of a man on a cross who bore the debt we could never repay. The man on the cross is our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Through him we find life eternal. Our burden of the debt of sin we could never repay has been lifted. Let us rejoice in this day and always by the fact that we have been forgiven. And in rejoicing, let us share the forgiving nature of our Lord. Practice the forgiveness we have freely received and share what it means to be forgiven by being holy followers of Christ in all that we do. Amen.